And begin the current daf Masechta this Nazir daf Samach Beis. We begin on the second line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that's why the words in the Gemara begin with Ihachi, although there are those who take out those words, because Ihachi would sound like, based on an assumption that was predicated on the previous daf, would be the reason for the following question, which in actuality it's not really. But it's based on the discussion from the previous daf, that is, we had opened up this parak of Hakutim Ein Lehem, that they don't have the halachas of Naziris, which the Gemara brought up Brisa. The reason for that is because by the parasha of Naziris, it says B'nei Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael means for the Jewish people, not for non-Jews. Now, however, the Gemara had asked on that because we find in the parasha of Erechin, which is when someone takes an Erech vow, which is set amounts that is written in the Torah for certain ages and genders, that it says B'nei Yisrael, which excludes non-Jews. However, the Brisa says it's only in regards to not being able to be Meirich, to take such a vow. But since it says the term ish, which is inclusive, includes even non-Jews in being the subject, the nerach, of the Erechin vow. So therefore the Gemara had asked, say the same thing over here by Naziris, where it says the term B'nai Yisrael, which is excludes non-Jews, but it says the term ish, which includes non-Jews. And say that maybe regards to, let's say, being the karbonis of Naziris and non-Jews not included. But regarding the prohibitions of being matam l'meisim or drinking wine, maybe that a non-Jew is included. That was the question which the Gemara had discussed in the previous daf to answer those questions. Now, on that theme of what we find by Erechin, the Gemara continues as follows. Ihachi, if that's the case, ish kiafli nedbe be'erkecha be'erechin, this pasuk that we brought in the previous daf, recorded in the Braisa, that said, from the term of ish, we include, although B'nai Yisrael excludes the non-Jew from making an Erech vow, however, the term ish comes to include a non-Jew that he could be Nerech, he could be the subject of such an Erech vow. On that, the Gemara asks Lamali, why do you need the term ish to include the non-Jew and being the subject of the Erech vow? Because Mechti, let's see, ha'iskish Erechin le'nedarim, there is a hekesh, there's a comparison between the laws of Nedarim, of regular vows, and of Erechin vows. Because the Amakra, the Pasuk says, ish kiyafli neder be'erkecha, use the terminology of by Erechin, the term of neder, to say, whatever applies by neder applies by Erechin. Now, v'atani gab nedarim, now we find the halach is by nedarim, it says near the pasuk ish. Matam elum ish, what is the term ish coming to include? L'rabba says, ha'iv dikichavim, comes to include non-Jews. What do they have by nedarim? She'in noidrim nedarim and nedavis, kisrol, that they could give nedarim, or nedavis, different types of donation offerings to the Beis HaMikdash, just like a regular Jewish person. So if so, since we find that non-Jews could take a neder and a davis like a Jewish person, so ish ki yafli be'erechin lamali, why do I need the ribui, the inclusionary term of ish, of man, by the parasha of erechin? Even if it didn't say ish, I would have known to define that the exclusionary term of B'nai Yisrael to only exclude non-Jews, that they can't be mayrich, that they can't take such an erechin vow. But not to exclude the non-Jew from being the nerach, from being the subject of the vow. And the reason is because it's logical to compare Erechin and Nedarim as much as we could because of the Hekesh that compares Erechin to Nedarim. So therefore we would have included, we would have defined the Miut where that it doesn't contradict the comparison of Erechin to Nedarim, which is just like by Nedarim we see a non-Jew could take a Neder. So fine, Erechin obviously the non-Jew cannot make an Erech because it says B'nai Yisrael. But it would only exclude it to the term of where it can't take such a vow, but of course it would be the subject because Erechin is compared to Nedarim, and Nedarim non-Jews apply, so Erechin would also apply. So good, he can't take the Erech, but to be the Nerech, I would know even without the term Ish, so what do we need the term Ish for? So El of the Gemara says, you're right. You don't need Ish to include the non-Jew to be the subject of the Erechin vow, because you're right, you would know that from comparison to the laws of Nedarim. Rather, high Ish, mi bayle, what do you need the term Ish for? Lesui, it's coming to include something else. Muflo samach le-Ish, it's coming to include a 12-year-old boy, which is someone that he is at the age where he's able to, if he understands the words that he's saying in the vow that he's taking, that for him, he's going to have the halachas, although he's not bar mitzvah yet, he's going to have the halacha that his vows are vows. Now, the Rush explains, although we quoted a brice in the previous stuff, which was the basis of what the Gemara's question over here was, that said, Yochel lo yinarachim, you would think that the non-Jew would not be the subject of the Erechim vow, because it says B'nai Yisrael excluding a non-Jew, Tamalim Ish. The Bryce says clearly that you know it from Ish. So on that, the Rush says, obviously from the Gemara's answer, you see that that's not not necessarily the case, because actually you would already know from a comparison of the halachas of Erichin to Nedarim that the Evdik HaChavim would be Nerachim. Rather, the Tana just picks it the way, the simpler way of defining it, which the Rosh explains what that means to say is because had we not had another place to know that the Evdik HaChavim would be Nerachim, which is really because from the comparison of Nedarim, then we would have expounded it from the term Ish. But you're right, the Tana didn't really mean that that's ultimately where we learned it from. You don't need Ish for that. Rather, what do you need Ish for? To tell you the halacha of Mufla Samach L'Ish, that even though he's not a regular Ish, he's not bar mitzvah yet, but he's a year before and he understands what he's saying, that he'll have the halacha, that his Nedarim will have the halachic status of Nedarim too. Now, that answer the Gemara asks, well, Hanicha L'man Dama, that works very well according to the opinion that says, Mufla Samach L'Ish D'Raisa, that the fact that a boy a year before his bar mitzvah could make a neder is a biblical halacha, which actually it's a machlokes in Masechtas Nidah in Perek Yetzer Daifin. So according to that interpretation, that it's biblical, so that's what the term Ish would be coming to include. Elamand amadirabbanim, according to the opinion that says that actually, according to biblical law, you have to be 13. It's only rabbinically that they let you make it a year before. So Ish kiafli lamali, according to that mandama, what does Ish come to include? It's not telling you mufla, because that's not a biblical law. And neither it's coming to tell you that the akum could be nerachin, because as you know from the comparison of irchin to nedar. So now the Gemara says, you're right, according to that mandama, it's lasuyim mufla samach le'ish do'evi kechavim. It's actually coming to include a non-Jewish person a year before they become an adult, that, which is paradoxical, although that really according to we're going according to the opinion that a Jewish boy a year before he becomes an adult, actually it's only rabbinically that he can make a neder. By non-Jews, it actually is going to be biblical that his neder is going to be a neder. Now the reason for this is because by a Jew, his Nedarim are defined by the criteria of the prohibition that says bal yachal. In other words, that lo yachal devar, he's not allowed to violate his neder. Now that is, as every mitzvah, is only when he becomes an adult. So therefore, we're not going to include that his neder should be a neder until he actually reaches that criterion of bal yachal. But a non-Jew who's not commanded in this mitzvah of lo yachal devar, they have just a sheva mitzvah b'nei nech, they don't have this mitzvah of not violating the neder that you made. So therefore, when it says ish kiafli, the term ish is coming to include even when he's not lo yachal devar, because he's not defined on that criterion. So therefore, if he understands the nedarim that he's making, which is that year before he becomes an adult, that even then it's going to be considered in halacha for the non-Jew as a neder. So that's what it's coming to tell you ish, which samach, it's a mufla samach ish for a non-Jew. So that the Gemara asks, Hanich l'man da'ama, that works very well according to the opinion which is Burnam Sechtes Erich in the first parak, that says, B'nei Yisrael Nerachin. There's a machlokes actually opposing theories where we said that there's an inclusionary term and an exclusionary term regarding a non-Jew by the parasha of Erich, which up until now we were saying it in the way of that the B'nei Yisrael could be, they could make the Erich vow, but Ish comes to say that the non-Jew could be Nerach. Now, that the Gemara says, what you want to define right now, that from the term of Ish, you come to include even a non-Jewish boy a year before becomes an adult, that only works according to the pin that says that when it says B'nai Yisrael, it's saying that only non-Jews could be Nerach, could be the subject of the Erechim vow. But Ve'ein Ha'evdei Kechavim Nerachim, but actually the non-Jew cannot be the subject of the Erechim vow because he's excluded from B'nai Yisrael. Now, Yochel Lo Yimarich, and you would think that so too he's excluded, that he can't, that the non-Jew cannot take an Erechim vow, meaning even of a Jew, Tamalema Ish. So that's what the term Ish comes to include, and the Gemara there explains the reason for this, why it would be more logical, which is not like the opinion we've been assuming up until now, that where you would include the non-Jew more in his ability to take the Erechim vow than being the subject of the Erechim vow, which is similar to what we find the such a similar theory by Otumtum and Andragonus, where they also could take the Erechim vow, but they're not the subject of the Erechim vow, because they're neither male nor female. But they could take Erechim vow because they're a Jewish person. Now, so therefore, the same thing would apply to the halacha of a non-Jew, that he also could go ahead and take the Erechim vow, although he can't be Nerach. So according to that opinion, Shaper, it makes sense that from the term of Ish, you're coming to include a non-Jewish person that's Mufla Samach Le'ish, that's a year before he becomes an adult, that he could take the Erechim vow. But according to the opinion, which was the opinion we were assuming up until now, that the Jewish people could take the Erechim vow. They know if you could have Marichim, but non-Jews can never take an Erechim vow. Now, Yochel lo yinerach, and that opinion holds. So you would think that he wouldn't neither be even the subject of the Erechim vow. Tamalema ish, that's what the Pasuk teaches, ish, which there they say that the ribui for the non-Jew is that it could be the Neruch, it could be the subject of the Erechim vow. So, therefore, the question is, according to that opinion, why would you need a term of ish to include a non-Jew that's a muflis samach le-ish that it could be Neruch? What do you mean? Even a child that's a month old, the Torah already gives a monetary value where it gives, for certain age brackets, certain amounts of money that's included in the Erechim vow. If I'm saying that the non-Jew could be the Neruch, so kiafli lamali, why do I need the term of ish? Kiafli to say that we're going to include in the Erechim for a non-Jew, even though he's a muflis samach le-ish, what do you mean you're including the non-Jew? To take the vow, which usually that's what muflis samach le-ish means, that's good according to the other mandam, but this mandam holds that a non-Jew could never take an Erechim vow. So what are you including from ish? That it could be the subject of the Erechim vow, even though it's a year before it becomes an adult? What do you mean? Look at the Torah. The Torah's values for people being the subject of the Erechim vows, even if you're a month old. So what are you learning from ish? You could only say that it's including muflis samach le-ish for oivik kochavim if you hold like the opinion that holds that non-Jews can make the Erechim vow. So you'll include even the year before he becomes an adult. But according to the opinion that holds that they can never make a vow to be the subject, you don't have to be 12 years old, you could be even a month old. So rather, Amr v'adabar Ava, he says, l'isuye oivit kochavim gadol. What we're coming to include over here is an adult non-Jewish person, where, as the Gemara explains, the afagav the gadlahu, meaning in spite of the fact that he's an adult, he doesn't know how to clearly define the terms of a neder, which essentially what we're learning from here is actually that the adult non-Jew cannot go ahead and take an Erechim vow. Now, as the Rush explains, where although we already explained previously that we know from the term of Bnei Yisrael that that excludes a non-Jew from the halachas of Erechim, so however, in spite of that, what we're saying over here is that Lasuya Evi Kachavim doesn't mean that we're including the non-Jew, because we already said he's excluded from Bnei Yisrael. Rather, it's coming to say that we're excluding the non-Jew. So what is the term Lasuya? It means to say that we're also saying that regarding that din that we said Bnei Yisrael, that we're excluding a non-Jew. So this term of Ish comes to include even this in what? In being excluded. Now, the Rush, however, points out, he says, so what do you need two miyutim for? If you already know a non-Jew cannot take an Erechim vow from Bnei Yisrael, so what do you need the term of Ish to include an adult non-Jewish person if you already know from Bnei Yisrael? So that the Rush explains, because if it had only said one miyut, let's say it would have said Bnei Yisrael, so it would have said that talking about an adult non-Jew that doesn't know how to be mafi, doesn't know how to go through the halachic definitions to make a proper neder. Now, in spite of the fact of that if he was a Jewish person, that it was making the Erech vow, it would still be valid even if he doesn't know what he's saying. Now, however, but the fact that he's a non-Jew, so therefore he can't take an Erechim vow. Now, however, that the reason why we need to have another pasuk is to tell you that no, even if you have a non-Jew that's yodea lahafli, that he knows what he's saying, that's what the Rush explains you need to have both pasukim for. So you have one pasuk, which the Gemara is saying that you learn it from Ish, that tells you a gadol that any yodea lahaflis. And moreover, is that you have another pasuk to tell you that even if he's yodea lahafli, even if he knows how to take a neder, still, since he's a non-Jew, his Erechim vow will not be a valid vow. So that's what you learn from the term of Ish. Now, however, the Gemara asks now, Elikiyafli the Kasav Rachmana, Gabi Naziris, but it says another place, the term Kiyafli, in the Pasuk in Bamidbar, by Naziris. And that asks the Gemara, Lomali, why do you need the term over there of Ish Kiyafli? Because Mechti, let's see, Ha'iskish Naziris l'Nedarim, there's a Hekish of Naziris to Nedarim, and moreover, there's a Hekish of Nedarim to Erechim. The reason being is because by Erechim, it says kiyafli. Now, whatever you want to darshan from this kiyafli, you should say the same thing applies to Nedarim. And the reason being is because Nedarim have a hekesh to Erechim, as the pasuk says, kiyafli ned be'erkecha, as we brought previously. Now, moreover, Naziris has a hekesh to Nedarim because it says kiyafli linda ned nozer lahazer. So you have nozer compared to Nedarim and Nedarim compared to Erechim. So the question is, so kiyafli, when it says kiyafli linda neder nazir by naziris, salam alei, what do you need it to say, especially by naziris, if whatever limudim we're saying over here that we're learning out from this term of ish kiafli, you don't need a special pasuk by nazir because nazir is learned from the dam, and the dam is learned from erichin, and as we just had the discussion over here, whichever interpretation you go with, that you're learning out from erichin, what does ish kiafli come to tell you? You know already from naziris. So on that, the Gemara says, "Lasu yidayim she'ena mechiches." The reason why it repeats it and says specifically this term of ish kiyafli by naziris is coming to tell you a special halacha to. Although again, here it says the term lasuye, as the Rosh explains, it means it's coming to exclude a case of yidayim she'ena mechiches. Yidayim she'ena mechiches means to say that if, let's say, you want to take a naziris, so yidayim means to say that you don't say the whole phrase; you say something that indicates that that's what your intention is. But Yadayim She'enim Echichas is a partial statement that's not even so clear. It's ambiguous if that's what you really meant to say and to take on that type of Naziris. Now, the actual drasha is learned in the first Pekah Masechet in the Dharm that says Ish Kiyafli. That means to say that you have to be, Hadaloshan Hafla means to say it has to be clear, it has to be specific what it is that you're trying to do. And therefore, Yadayim She'enim Echichas, which are not obvious, are not Yadayim. Didma, like we learned, Yadayim She'enim Echichas, regarding, which literally means to say hands, like just like when you want to pick up a cup, you could pick it up with the handle, even though it's not picking up the cup, so too when you say a phrase that means that, even though you're not saying the whole sentence of saying I want to be a nazir, so regularly yidayim would be kenaziris. But yidayim she'enim echichis, so abaya amah havin yidayim, it says it's still considered yidayim, but rava amah lahavin yidayim, rava says it's not considered yidayim, and again, therefore, since it's not yidayim, that we know from this ish kiyafli, because it's not hafla. Now, that the Gemara asks, and the gears is switched around, that l'rava nicha, so according to Rava, that says yidayim she'en mechichet doesn't work, so it makes sense, that's what you're learning from ish kiyafli by naziris. But ela l'abaya, the gears is, ma'yikalamem, according to Abaya, what are you going to say? He holds yidayim she'en mechichet have yidayim. So you're obviously not excluding that from ish kiyafli, so what is ish kiyafli by naziris coming to teach? So ela rather, kiyafli mi'boyle l'kadrib tarfa. That what at least according to Abaye, what Ish Kiyafli would have to say would be like what a Reb Tarfon says. The time like we learned the Braisa, Rehuda Omer Mishum Reb Tarfon. He says, Ein Echad Mehen Nazir. Now this is a Gemara that we brought on Daf Lamed Aleph Alf and Perek Bishamai, where it's talking about that there's different people that are saying that person is that person, and he's saying I'll be a Nazir if he is. He's saying I'll be a Nazir if he's not. Everyone's saying different things. Now it's not clear when they're saying the neder of the naziris, what they're saying is true and that they'll have to be a nazir or not. So Reb Tarfon says that none of them are going to be a nazir, even if it turns out that he was right. And the reason is, lafish lo nitna naziris el hafla. Naziris is only if you have, like the pasuk says, ish kiyafli. If it's not, there's no hafla, it's not clear when you're saying it, then that's not a naziris. So if that's what we're learning out from ish kiyafli by naziris, now that the Gemara asks, ha nichla Reb Tarfon. So that would make sense according to Reb Tarfon. But El Rabban, according to the Rabbanon that argue on the interpretation of Reb Tarfon, so according to them, Samaikal Amemo, what are you going to say that is in regards to this interpretation of Ish Kiyafli? They don't hold that they actually Rabban hold that they're all going to be Nazir. So according to them, what are you going to interpret from Ish Kiyafli? So El Mimbayi Leila Kedetan Yerav, the Gemara says you need it like we learned in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Het in the Dorim Perchen Ba'aver. Which literally means to say that the permissibility, the being matir, the undoing, when you go to Chacham and he's matir your neder, that halacha is actually floating in the air. Which means to say, ve'ein lehem alai shayis moichu, really the whole halacha of ataras nedarim, there's no substance, there's nothing really we to rely on it. Which the Rush explains that means to say is, because there's no pasuk that really clearly says this halacha of ataras nedarim. It's actually only learned out from a remez. It's alluded to by a drasha of the Chachamim, which is brought in the Gemara Chagiga, that says lo yachal devar, that a person is not allowed to desecrate his neder that he made, which the interpretation is that he cannot make it chal, but others could be meichel it, from meaning to say the halacha of ataras nedarim. So the Tanna Kamma says really there's no real clear source for this in the Torah. Whereas Rabbi Elazar Omer, he says, no, yesh lehem al mashris moich. Actually, there is a source for this in the Torah. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk in Yikra, it says ish kiyafli, and then it says again the pasuk in Bamidbar kiyafli. So it says the shtei pa'am two times. Again, one is by the parash of Nazir, and one's by the parash of Erichin, which comes to tell you echad afla le'iser. One is when you have to be clear when you're creating the Isser with your words. Ve'echer haflah lehetah. And one is the clarity that comes with the hataras of the Chacham. So therefore, that's what we're learning out. Why does it say Ish Kiafli two times? We asked. Nazir, you know, from Neder, which knows from Erechin. And that is what Rabbi Yez is clearly demonstrating. You need to have both of them to tell you the haflah of Isser, which is when you're making the Isser, has to be clear. And moreover, it's that one is the haflah leheter, which is this other halacha that Rabbi Yez is saying that you see in the Torah, this halacha of hataras nadar. Now we continue on to Amud Beis, where the Mishnah continues from the previous Mishnah's halacha, where it said that there was a chaymer b'noshem mibavadim. There was a certain stringency that applies to women more than applies to slaves, in the sense of that by a woman that he can't force her to drink wine, whereas by his eved he could actually force him, even though he takes a neder, he could force him to desecrate that neder. Here the Mishnah says the opposite. Chaymer b'avadim mibanoshem. There's a stringency that applies more by slaves than by women. The reason being is shehu mefer nidre ishta, because the halacha is that a man can do hafara, can nullify in totality the neder that his wife made. And therefore she could drink wine, she could, even after she becomes a widow or gets divorced, there's no such a neder. Now, however, ve'ena mefer nidre avda, however, the master, although he can force him, as we said in the previous Mishnah, to drink wine, but however, if let's say after he forces him, he wants that his neder should be valid, there should be hakama to it, he would have to actually go ahead and be mekayim it, in contrast to the woman, where if let's say after he was made for the neder, he wants, oh, you know what, the neder that you took, I want that, he wouldn't be able to, because the neder was totally nullified. So again, although the previous Mishnah said he could force his eved to drink wine, but the neder is still there, it's still extant. And therefore, actually, he cannot be made for the neder of his eved, which is a stringency over the woman that he could be made for and totally make away with her neder. Now, moreover, as the Mishnah explains, hafar le'ishte, when he's made for the neder of his wife, hafar alamis, so that's an eternal hafar, he has nullified it, even when she gets divorced or widowed, her neder is not going to come back. Now, hafar la'avde, however, when he's made for the neder of his slave, which again the Rush explains doesn't necessarily mean that he's made for it, because we said he can't be made for it, all he could do is he could force him to drink wine in spite of his neder of nazirus that he took. So the halacha is that actually yotzel acheres, when he goes out and he's free, and Girasotis take out this vav over here, because the main idea is that umashlam nazirus, then when he finally goes out, meaning if let's say the evi was meshacher him, if he goes out free, then all was happening up until now was the adin, the master was suppressing. He says, look, I know you have this nazirus, and the halacha is that evi could take nazirus, but I want you to drink wine, and he could force him to. Now, therefore, since it's not a real hafara, when he gets freed, he has to then go ahead and fulfill his naziris that he had taken upon himself when he was a slave. Now, the Gemara says, turn up on Lintna Braisa, Lamat Rabbi Kaifa, which is related to this halacha, the Mishnah that we said in the previous Mishnah, and was alluded to over here, that the master could force his slave in contrast to the neder that he took upon himself. So on that, the Braisa asks, in regards to what area of halacha is the master allowed to force and in protest against his slave? So that the Braisa says, it's l'naziris. It's for naziris, where if he took upon himself a naziris, I'm not going to drink wine, I'm not going to tamal ha-mesim, all those things. He says, you know what? I don't care what you took upon yourself. You're going to be drinking wine. Aval, but the Braisa says, lo'yna nedarim ula erichin. But that does not apply if the Eved had taken upon himself a neder or erichin, where there he could take it even against the will of his master. Now, that the Gemara asks why. Maishna gabi nazir, why is nazir any different where the Amr Rahman is, because the Torah says, lesser iser al nafshali, where it says the one who takes the nether takes something to make forbidden on himself. Now, although that pasuk actually is talking about by Nadarim, but the first peg of Masechtas Nadarim on Daf Gimel says that, as we mentioned before, that there's a hekish between Naziris and Nadarim. So what do we learn from that pasuk? Is b'misha nafshe kenuy loy, only someone that owns his own self, then that's the type of person that could be lesser issa al nafshe. Yotze eved shein nafshe kenuy loy, so that excludes a slave who doesn't own himself, someone else owns him. So therefore that's why you would be saying that the master could force him in protest, although you took a naziris, I don't care, I own you, you don't own yourself. But that the Gemara asks, ihach, if that's the source of the halacha, afel gaben and darm nami, then even by Nedarim should be the same halacha, where in actuality, the primary pasuk, as we pointed out just before, is actually written by Nedarim. So if he could be forcing his slave against his Naziris, he should definitely be allowed to force him against his Neder. So why does the Braisa say that he could only force him by Naziris and not by his Neder or Erechim? So Amar Rav Sheshar says, the reason is, HaHachma Yaskin, in the case that we're talking about over here, and the Braisa is, we're talking about that there was a cluster of grapes in front of this Eved. Now, Gabi Nedarim, which in this case, talking about the Eved, when any person takes a Neder, forbidding this on him, in the context of a neder, when he makes himself forbidden on this cluster of grapes, he doesn't become forbidden in other grapes too, only forbidden in these grapes. Now, therefore, now that's why the master can't force him to eat those grapes, because there's nothing to be particular about that. In other words, for this context, the slave is actually owns his own self, because you can't tell him to do whatever he wants, whatever is on the context of master-slave relationship. Now, why do you care if I eat these grapes in contrast to other grapes? So therefore, for that, it is considered that the Eved is lesser Isal Nafsha, and that's why it's a valid neder, and the master can't force him to violate that. But Gabi Naziris, when it's in the context of Naziris, where although there's just a cluster of grapes, but when the Eved says, I'm forbidden in this cluster of grapes, in the terminology and the halachic definition of Naziris, itzer b'kulu, he actually becomes forbidden in all grapes in the world. Whereas we taught in the previous Mishnah, for example, let's say they pour someone a cup of wine, and he says, I'm a Nazir, and he only says in the context of this cup of wine, he actually becomes a Nazir in totality, and it's forbidden in all grape derivatives. So that's why Matzah Kafilei, that's why regards to halachas of Nazir, he's allowed to force him, because actually know that the slave does not own himself in this context, because the master doesn't want him to become weak, because he's not going to be able to do work anymore. What, you're not going to drink any more wine, not going to take any more grapes? For that, you're not considered lesser Isal Nafshai. I own you in that regards, because it's such a unilateral type of a neder when it's done in the context of Naziris, and that's why the Braisa says regarding Naziris, he could be Kaifa, but not regarding neder. Because we're talking about that it was only one cluster of grapes, which has bigger consequences by Naziris than by Nadarim. Now, that the Gemara asks. The Gabi Nadarim, but regards to the halacha of Neder, Mila Yaskin, wouldn't it also be talking about Deleka Ela Hai Eshkol? Let's say it's talking about that there's only one cluster of grapes in front of him. But wouldn't it be talking about that the only cluster of grapes that he could take is that one in front of him? De'iloi Ochel Le'chalish, where if he doesn't eat that cluster of grapes, he's going to become weak. And even so, the Bryce is saying that the master can't force him when it's the context of Nadarim. Why? The way you're defining that the master can force him by Naziris is because of, oh, because he's not going to take any grape juice, any wine, and any grapes. He's going to become weak. So then maybe the case of the cluster of grapes told him that this is also the only cluster of grapes he could have. And if he's not going to eat this cluster, he's going to get weak. So why by Nadarim can't he force him? So Elam Rava, rather Rava says a modification of this answer. He says, Kegoyin Shaya Chartzin Munach Lafanav. That there was only a seed, one grape seed in front of him. Where, as the Rush explains, that the Gemara's assumption now is that by just not eating a grape seed, you're not going to become weak to not be able to do your work. So therefore, Gabi Nedarim, by the context of vows, Bahaihu de Mitzer, there is where he becomes forbidden from that grape seed, because and therefore Lematze Kafli can't force him, because what's the big deal? I'll have other grape seeds. I'll have other fruit. But by the Nazir, when even if he makes himself just forbidden from this grape seed, he actually ends up becoming forbidden in all grape derivatives. So Matzah Kafalei, there he could force him. But the Gemara actually asked the same question that it asked when it was just a cluster of grapes. Because it asks the Gemara, can't it also then be talking about that the only thing he has to eat is this grape seeds in front of him? Where if he doesn't eat, he's going to get weak. Sends back to the question. If the whole context of the reason why you could force him to be kaifalei by Naziris is because he's going to get weak, because he's not going to have to drink any wine. So here also, he should be able to be kaifa him, he should be able to force him against his neder, even in the context of Nadarm, because he's going to get weak. He won't be able to eat the only thing he could eat, which are these grape seeds. So Elam Abaye, rather Abaye, gives a whole different interpretation of this price. It's actually Lama Rabbi Tzorich Likfaisai. What it means to say is, for which context of halacha does the master have to force? In other words, that he has to protest what the Eved is doing. And that is what the Bryce says, L'Naziris. Only by Naziris does the master have to protest. And only then will it not be that the Eved has to keep his Nazirs. But ve'in tzarech l'chveis l'ndarm. He actually doesn't even have to protest by Nadarm. And ve'in tzarech l'chveis l'shvua. He doesn't have to force him by shvua, by oath. Because there actually, even without kfiyah, even without forcing him, he's permitted and his shvua and his neder has no validity whatsoever. Now, my time, what's the reason? Because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in the Yikra, when it talks about Shvuz Bitui, which is when someone takes an oath and then he has to keep the words that he said, which is a Shvua, it says, Lahara Oy Lahetiv, whether what he's taking a Shvua is for bad or for good. Now, that the Gemara compares, when it compares this bad or good, which is Mahatab Rishos, just like when it's saying the good doing that you're making an oath to do, is something that's a voluntary good, because obviously a mitzvah, you don't need a shvuah to do that. Obviously, you have to do that. So just like when the goodwillness of whatever you're taking an oath to do is something within the voluntary domain, not mitzvah or avera, afhara rishos, so too the bad that you said you're going to do with your shvuah is also something that you're allowed to do. Yotza lahar lachem, that excludes if you said, I swear I'm going to hit this person, I'm going to hurt this person, she'ena rishos b'yaday, with there you have no permission, obviously, to hurt somebody. So therefore, if let's say someone took a shvuah that he's going to hit somebody, so then actually the shvuah doesn't even take effect in the first place because it says lahar lahetiv, just like lahetiv is something that it's within rishus area, non-mitzvah area. So too, lahara is also non-mitzvah area, which obviously can't be talking about hitting someone, which is obviously something that you're forbidden to do. So therefore, that is a pasuk by shvuah. Nedarim is compared to shvuah, as it says in the pasuk, "Ohi shavah shvuah leser iser," where in the context of the pasuk Nedarim, it compares it to a shvuah. So therefore, so too by Nedarim, you don't have to force him. And the reason being is because the neder doesn't take effect. Why? Because the neder that you're taking is bad for the master, because you're going to get weak, and therefore you're not going to be able to do the work. So that's why, anytime you say you're not going to take the grapes, you're not going to consume wine product, whatever it is that you're taking a neder, you're forbidding something on yourself. No, you're going to make yourself weak. It's going to be detrimental to your master. That's lahara la'achayrim, that the halacha of shvuah and the darm doesn't apply. So you don't even have to be kaifa, because even without you trying to force him to protest, it's not going to be valid. Now, the pasuk of lesser Israel nafshai, which we expounded before to say that only someone that owns himself, he's included in bayachal devar, but we said that excludes an eved, a slave, that doesn't own himself, where he's not included in Balyachal Devaray. The interpretation is that even though his neder is a neder, because obviously we're saying that Loyachal Devar wouldn't apply to him, which means to say there's no Isser in violating it, it means to say but that there is a neder in the first place. What that means to say is because the master could force him to violate his neder, and in that process he's not going to be violating Balyachal, that Pasuk, since it doesn't apply, although we pointed out before, actually, that pasuk is written in the Parashat Nedarim, but what the Gemara is concluding now is that since it cannot apply to Nedarim, and the reason being because we just proved from a hekesh of neder to shvuah that actually a neder of an eved doesn't take effect in the first place because it's going to be detrimental to the master, so that's why the Gemara is concluding that actually that pasuk will be said in the context of Nazir, and that's why by Nazir, his neder does take effect, but the master could force him, and that's what it's saying, because there's no loyachal devari by the eved, because he could violate, so it is a naziris, but the master has to be kaifim, in contrast to neder and shvuah, where it doesn't even take effect in the first place. Now, the Rosh Hashanah asks, he says, why do you say that? Why didn't you say that we compare nazir to nedarim, like we said before, that there's such a hekesh, and therefore we should say, just like by neder, this doesn't take effect, the neder, as we learn that from shvuah, so nazir, which is compared to neder, Linda Neder Nazir Lahazir also should not take effect in the first place. So that the Rush answers that Nazir actually is different. Now the reason why is because we find in the Pasuk that Naziris could take effect even on something that's out of your Rishus. That's not something that you're permitted to do. For example, if let's say someone says, I swear that I'm going to drink wine. Then he says, I'm a Nazir, which obviously I cannot drink wine. Where the Gemara in the beginning of the Masechta expounds from the word Yain B'Shecher, to say that when you take your Naziris, it will prohibit Yayin Mitzvah ki Yayin Harishus, which means to say that even if it's Yayin Mitzvah wine, how so? Because you took a Shvuah that you're going to drink it, the Naziris will take effect, even though it's something that's beyond your Harishus, because the Shvuah says you have to, the Naziris will take effect on that. So therefore, actually the Nazirus will take effect even though it's not in his Rishus, which also means domain, it also means something that's in something that's permitted, it also means something that's voluntary. But it's even though something that's not in his Rishus to harm his master, it will take effect, as we see that such a pretext by Yain v'Shecher, that even though there's shvui that you have to drink wine, Nazirus will take effect. So that's why we don't compare the Nazirus to Nadarm, because it's different, although there's a Hekesh. But again, as we said before, the master could be kreifeo, could be forcing him, which is the halacha that Abai is interpreting, Lama Rabbi Sarach Lechvei. So what does he have to force him for? Again, he has to force him, because it's not automatically not a Nazirus. It actually is a Nazirus, even though it's going to be harming his master. But the master could force him, because as we said before, the Pasuk says, Lesser Isal Nafshai, where, as we said, since it doesn't apply to Neder, because Neder doesn't take effect at all, so we're saying it applies to Nazir to say that even though the Nazirus will take effect, but the master could force him, and he's not going to be violating the Isra of Bal Yachal. Now, although one of the terms mentioned in the Braisa was Avaloylan Nadarm Le'erichin, where it was different than Nazirus, but it's also different than Nadarm, the Rush explains Lamaskana, where by Erichin, actually the master can't even force him not to keep his Erich. I mean, it's not like Neder and Shvu, which doesn't take effect in the first place. It doesn't have to be Kaifim. And by Nazir, it takes effect, but he has to be Kaifim if he wants not to be. By Erichin, he can't even be Kaifim. And the reason being is the Rosh says, because what does the master lose if he says Arki Eli, which will take effect when he becomes free, or if, let's say, someone gives him a gift that the master has no rights over it, of course, he should have to pay the Erichin vow, even if he's an Eved that he had taken upon himself to pay for. So again, that was the Maskon of Abaya, where this Halach of the Bryce is that he has to force him, which is unique about Nazir, that it takes effect, but the master still has the right of forcing him, because Lesser Isal Nafshoi excludes an Eved from the Isra of Layachal Devar. Now the Mishnah continues regarding the halacha of an Eved. Over Mikineged Panaviv. Let's say the slave has removed himself from in front of his master, which basically means that he has fled from his master. So we have a machlikis regarding his nazirus that he took upon himself. Rameyo Eimer Lo Yishti says he's not allowed to drink wine. Rabbi Yisrael Eimer Yishti says he's allowed to drink wine. So the Gemara says, Leimen b'dishmul kamifli. Let's say that this machlikis between Rameyo and Rabbi Yisrael, actually they're arguing on the halacha of Shmuel. Now the reason is because the Gemara's assumption is when that the slave flees, that the owner gives up hope of ever getting him back. And therefore, essentially, it's like he was mafker, like a declared ownerless, his rights in this slave. So, therefore, it would seem that they're arguing in Shmuel's halacha, because the Amr Shmuel says, Hamafker Avdu, if someone says, Hefker, my slave is ownerless, I don't own him anymore. So, Yotze Lecheres, he's a free man, Veinatzar Ket Shecher, and he doesn't need to have a procedural process of being freed, which is a Get Shecher, you give him some type of a document that frees him, like a woman that gets divorced with a get, says you don't have to, you could just make him ownerless. Now, it seems like Remeir is Lei Shmuel. It seems like Remeir holds the halacha of Shmuel, who says that you don't need a get shechur. Now, since he's free, because you were mafker him, essentially, because you gave up on this Eved that ran away, so that's why now he has to fulfill his Nazirus, as we said in the previous Mishnah, and that's why Remeir says he can't drink wine. Whereas Rabbi Yasi, less Lei Shmuel, seems like Rabbi Yasi doesn't hold like the halacha of Shmuel, and that's why he says that he could drink wine, because if he held the Shmuel, so he ran away, you gave up hope, he's like Hefker, you don't need to get Shecher, and therefore we say when he goes free, he has to keep his Nazirus, and he wouldn't be able to drink. So the Gemara says, no. The Kula Amma Islo Dishmo, we could really say that everyone holds of this halacha of Shmuel, and meaning that if someone says that his Eved is Hefker, he goes out free, and he doesn't need to get Shecher. Now, however, here in this case, because he was like the words of the Mishnah, Avar Mekineged Panav, actually, although he fled, he did not give up hope of getting his slave back. And therefore, he's not considered like Hefker. So what is the Machlekes regarding? If he's not Hefker, so he still owns him. So if he still owns him, like a master owns a slave, we said that he could be kefeya him, that he could drink wine. So why is there an opinion that says that he can't drink wine? So the Gemara explains. Elamanda amayishta, according to the opinion that says that he drinks wine. The reason being is because the master is anticipating and waiting that maybe the slave is going to be found and he's going to be returned. And therefore, he prefers that he drink wine when he's on his as a fugitive. Because he thinks, look, slave mahadar hadar ba'asigabe. Ultimately, they're going to find my slave. He's going to come back home. I want him to stay, which is within the purview we said it's within the rights of a master to force his slave not to keep his nizirus and to drink wine, says, I want to continue drinking wine because I don't want, in his fugitive state where he thinks he's a free man, I know I'm going to end up getting it back, I don't want him to get weakened. So therefore, he continues to be allowed to drink wine. But Almanda Amala Yishta, according to the opinion that says that he cannot drink wine, according to a mayor, the reason is because Savar, he, that master, thinks, Lahavale Tsara, to the contrary, I want the slave to be in pain in his inability to consume wine, Kihechid de Lahadr Gabe, so that he will come back to me as a slave, and then I'll be Kefeo him, I'll force him to go ahead and he'll be able to drink wine. And therefore, to the contrary, that when he's a fugitive, that's the machlekes between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yossi, does the master prefer him to drink wine or not? Again, which is his ability to be kefe him to not keep the naziris, or to pull back and let him have to keep his naziris. That's what the machlekes is. Everyone holds like Shmuel, that if he was Meyayish and he was hefker, then he would be free, and of course he would have to keep his naziris. But he's not free. He's a regular slave, although he's a fugitive. And the machlekes is regarding what does the master want? Does he want him to drink so he doesn't get weak, because he's going to end up coming back? Or does he say, no, let him suffer, let him have to keep his naziris, and he's going to be in pain, and then he's going to want to come back, and only when he comes back will he not have to keep his naziris, because then the master could be kefeh him, could force him, as we said before, from lesser esal nafshay, not to have to keep his naziris of not drinking wine.